Genesis chapter 24, starting from verse number 62. Genesis 24, starting from verse 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahai Roi, for he dwelt in south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time that we can open thy word. Father, be with us this evening. In Jesus Christ's precious name we ask. Amen. The last time when we looked at the prayer of the master servant of Abraham, and we saw that he was instructed to go and find a bride for his son Isaac. And now we ended where Rebekah, his bride-to-be, his wife-to-be, agreed to go along and to be married to Isaac. And so we find that now Isaac comes into play. Isaac, as we see, is out to meditate in the field. He's out there not only just to meditate, but also looking for his wife to come, his bride to come. And when we look at this, it says that he was in the field at the eventide. You know, when we think of this, we also think of our Lord Jesus Christ. At this time, today, he is at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And he is ready to come. He is ready to come for his bride. And we are his bride. And it also says that Isaac was out there meditating in the field, a quality probably he got it from his father, Abraham. And we see that at the eventide is when he was out there, probably a time of the evening. Darkness was just setting in, but enough light so that he could see the camels coming in. And he saw the camels coming in, and he was probably very excited to see his bride-to-be because he has not seen who this girl is, or who the bride is, Rebekah. And we see that in verse number 64, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. It is probably customary at that time that if a stranger is coming to you and you are on a beast or an animal, like a camel in this case, that you would get off the animal. And we see that she gets off, and she asks the servant, Who is this man coming towards us? And the chief servant says, This is my master. And she, as a mark of respect and reverence, she covers herself with a veil. When we look at Isaac, this man of Isaac, there is not very much that is given about about Isaac as compared to his father, Abraham, and as compared to his son Jacob. We see that Jacob, there's a lot written about Jacob in Genesis and also in other parts of the scriptures. At the same time, even about Abraham. But when we look at, Bible scholars have noted that Isaac was probably a weak link between these three, or among these three people. But look at Isaac. What has he done? If you look at it, we will look at his life a little bit. And when you look at Isaac, you find that he didn't travel very much. Whereas his father and his son Jacob, has traveled extensively. They even took some foreign travel. We see that Abraham came from his home country, land of Ur, came into Canaan land, even went up to Egypt. So also his son. We see that he traveled from Canaan land to his homeland, where he got two of his wives. And then he came back, and then he also traveled to Egypt. So he had done quite a bit. They have done, Abraham and Jacob, both have traveled quite a bit. But if you look at Isaac, he has just traveled within Canaan land. He was happy where he was. But there are some qualities about him that is very good, in the sense that he likes to meditate. He likes to pray, as we will see. So when we see this, we see that these two, Isaac and Rebekah, are joined together, and they start a family unit. When we look at chapter 25, the first few verses talks about his father, Abraham, and we see that he is married now to Keturah, and they have a few children. And we find in these verses, it says that Abraham sends away these children away with gifts, and he then gives the rest of his wealth, and Isaac receives that wealth and inherits that wealth. And now we see the life of Isaac and Rebekah starting. And so when we come to Genesis chapter 25, verse 19, it says, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. And it says, Isaac begat Jacob. Now, at what age did Isaac get married? It says in verse 20 of 25, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. So it is recorded that Isaac is married and starts a family at the age of 40. Most of us that are married, we know at the time of our marriage, we were happy, we lived, we had a good time, in the sense that we knew that we had to bring up this family, and as a man in the family, we knew we were responsible for our spouse, our new wife, and also the children that we are to have. But then, not everybody has a life that is a bed of roses. There are some difficulties along the way, and we see that Isaac and Rebekah has some difficulties. And what were those difficulties? If we read that, we see in verse number 21, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. Why? Because she was barren. If you look at it, the problem was they could not have a child because Rebekah was barren. If you look in scriptures, we find that there are a few others we know that was barren. His mother, Sarah, we know she was barren. We know that Isaac's daughter-in-law, Rachel, was barren. And we also see in record in the scriptures that Samson's mother was barren. I don't think there's a name given to his mother here, but she was barren. And also Hannah, the mother of the temple boy Samuel, she was also barren, that we see in scriptures. And so Isaac entreated the Lord. What do we mean by entreated? That means he prayed earnestly. To put in simple language, earnestly, or rather, he begged God. He was praying. And when we look at it, he was married at the age of 40. And if you look at a verse down in 26, we find towards the end of that verse, he says, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare their children. So it looks like Isaac, as already we know that he was somebody that meditates, prays, and here we find that the prayer of Isaac would have lasted about 19 years. He was praying and praying and praying, and he did not give up. If you look at the history of his mother, Sarah, she was not patient enough. We see that. But that may be a lesson that he had heard from their parents. Maybe when they were having a chat by the porch, they said, "You are the son of promise. God blessed you, and God has given you to us, and it is through you that we will be blessed." So he knew that he is going to have a large family. But here we see that Isaac and Rebekah was not able to have a child. And today we have countless number of people that have that problem. But today what do? We go to the doctor immediately. And they do some tests, some scans, and all kinds of procedures can be done, and they can have children today. You see? But at that time, they didn't have anything. Okay? Probably a little bit of herbs here and there. They might have tried that. We do not know. It does not record to us. And so we are not going to assume that, but I'm just stating that. And then Isaac here, goes to pray. Prayed and prayed. He didn't let up. You see, what was he doing? He was praying for his wife. You see, us as husbands and Christian husbands, we have a responsibility to pray for our wives. We have to pray for our children. As spiritual leaders in the home, we have to pray for the goodness and the well-being of our spouses and our children. And that is absolutely important because we never know or we don't know what could go through or what could happen to our family. It's not in our hands. But we do the best. But we have a loving God, a loving Savior that will take care of us if we go to him in prayer. So we said that Isaac had a great father and a great son in Abraham and in Jacob. And we also mentioned about how much he traveled. Isaac did not travel much, but the others did travel. But when we look at something else about Isaac, you see, the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot about Isaac as compared to his father, Abraham, or his son, Jacob. They were great men. But I would think Isaac was also great. Imagine he made it into the hall of faith. If you read the book of Hebrews, we see that. He made it there for some reason. And what was the reason? Maybe because of his perseverance and his persistence in prayer, asking God for a child. He probably knew that it is through him that his father and him is going to be blessed, that they will be blessed as the stars of the sky. So he knew it's going to happen. But 20 years, isn't that a long time? Imagine if we go to pray, and we pray, and we pray, months and months, maybe a year, maybe two. May I ask you a question? Have you given up maybe on a prayer? And then after a few months, maybe after a year, that same answer is prayed. How do you feel? Won't you feel terrible that you didn't have enough faith to continue to pray? So we need to be persistent in prayer, and that is something that we learn here from Isaac. We also look at two other things. We look at Isaac, and we see a picture of Jesus Christ. Look at the birth of Isaac. Wasn't that a miraculous birth? His mother couldn't have children. And God said that it is through their child, Abraham and Sarah, that they will be blessed. And Sarah did have a child, and that was Isaac. That was a miraculous birth. And we see that in comparison to look at the birth of Jesus Christ. You see, we read that in Luke, the supernatural power of God was what caused the conception of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Virgin Mary. And then we see a miraculous birth over there. What else do we see as a picture of Christ in Isaac? We see that as a young boy, he sacrificed his life. Did he truly? Yes, he did. Remember when God told his father Abraham, "Take your son and sacrifice him for me. Abraham took Isaac, took two young men, and went up to Mount Moriah. At the base of the mountain, he told his two servants, stay here, and they went up, climbed up the Mount Moriah. And what did he tell? At that time, Isaac had a question for Abraham. Father, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Where is the lamb? And you also can remember that Isaac was carrying the load of wood on which he was going to be tied up. Now, I would say that he was willing to give his life. Why? Because when they were up on Mount Moriah, and when Abraham tied him up to those wood to be burnt and Isaac to be sacrificed, he did not resist. There was no resistance. He allowed, and he was tied up. You know, I was wondering how old he was. He was definitely a teenager, maybe in his 20s. I do not know. The Bible does not tell us. But if he was strong enough to carry that bunch of wood up that mountain, he was probably up in age, strong. And he was probably even able to resist his father, Abraham. He was, but he did not. And so also our Lord Jesus Christ. He came down from heaven for us. He came and he sacrificed himself, his life, for us. He died upon the cross of Calvary for us. And so we see a picture over there like that. And we know that Isaac was a man of prayer. Imagine, he prayed for his wife, Rebecca, to have a child. He prayed for 19 years for his wife. That's a long time, 19 years. Our Lord Jesus Christ is ready for his bride. It's over 1900 years that he's been waiting. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for his father to tell him, son, go bring my children home. And that's going to happen soon. Brothers and sisters, we are one day closer to that day when we will be raptured up to go with him. What a promise that is. And if you look at if you look at the prayers, Isaac, we see that Isaac prayed and he was blessed. God surprised him, but not one child, but two. When we look at the prayers that has been answered, you know, we can look at Hannah. Hannah, the mother of that great man, Samuel. She prayed. She prayed earnestly. She probably even begged God, God, give me a child. And what did God do? He surprised her with a great man of God in Samuel. And what was the privilege he had? He had the privilege to anoint two kings of the nation of Israel, the first two kings. Think of Cornelius in his prayer. Cornelius, when he prayed, what did God surprise him with? God sent him Apostle Peter to his house. And because of that, we see that Cornelius was saved. Not only Cornelius, but his whole household was saved. And not only that, they also received the Holy Spirit. Think of the disciples that prayed. Remember when Apostle Peter was put in jail and the apostles prayed? They prayed, they prayed. And how did God surprise them? They had a knock. And Peter said, this is Peter. This is me. Lady came out, came by the door, and she thought she recognized Peter. She went and told inside to the disciples. They said, no, he's still in jail. And they opened the door, and God surprised them with Apostle Peter. That is the power of prayer. We should not minimize the power of prayer. I'd like to read a few more verses before I conclude. And we see that in verse number 21, and the latter half of the verse, it says, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. which means the Lord obliged Isaac for his prayer, for his entreatment of God, and she conceived. And look at what happens next. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. What does it mean by the children struggled? You know, for those that have had children, women that have had children, had gone through pregnancy, they probably know what it is to get some kicks here and a kicks there. But this was not just a kick. This was probably kickboxing maybe. It was probably that bad because she was concerned. She was worried, you see. Usually mothers, the first pregnancy, they get their movements inside, the kicks inside at 25 weeks or so. Second pregnancy on maybe 13 to 14, 15 weeks. But here,